top? Let's try to do this. Who are the top five players in the NBA right now?
My opinion.
Let me try to do this right. Let's do top eight. I don't know why I just chose a random number.
Okay. Okay, so now, okay, I got a question.
This is gonna go somewhere, but go ahead.
I got you.
Let's not get in an argument. Let's just name
no
our...
semantics. All right, no semantics. Okay.
Just
because
overall player.
This is who my top eight is.
This might not go the way I want it to, but go ahead.
My thing was this. When you said top eight NBA, I was gonna relate it to top eight NBA players. If you put them in 3-on-3 basketball.
Oh, no. I don't even want to. Okay. Let's just say basketball players overall. Yeah.
Okay, for sure. Yeah. Okay, my top eight.
Let me make sure we're recording this. All right, yeah, we're good.
Yeah, it's recording. All right. Okay, so I'm going to go with Luka Doncic.
Okay.
I got Joel Embiid.
Okay.
I got LeBron James.
Okay.
I got Kevin Durant. That's okay. Four. I got Steph Curry.
Okay.
The Joker.
Okay.
What's that, six?
That's six.
I don't mess with him like that.
Oh my.
Because he only got one move. The Greek Freak only has one move. That's why I don't pick him. Okay. I'll pick Damian Lillard over him.
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna go with guards all the time, man. I'll just go with Shea Alexander, Shea Gildas, SGA.
I like that. All right.
So, no Clippers.
Okay. So the first three players you named were Luka. Before you got to LeBron, you named Luka.
Joel Embiid.
All right.
LeBron James.
Okay.
Playmakers. I like playmakers. That's why I didn't pick Greek.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I didn't get it. No, that's cool. But I do find it interesting that like the first player you named was Luka, and I was gonna even put Jokic in there.
I put him in there. He was like the sixth guy.
Yeah, that's right. But so my point is like all those players that you named all have like you said, you're trying to think of all guards because those are the most skilled players. And also half of those players that you named were all, foreign players.
International
players. So, my point is 3-on-3 basketball is very popular overseas, internationally.
For sure.
It's only here in the United States where, I feel like it's just now starting to blossom a little bit. There was a time when 3-on-3 was blossoming when we were growing up with the Gus Macker,
the Nike
Hoop It Up. Yep. But it was never really used in a lot of practices, just like kind of one-off events during the summer. But in Europe, they use 3-on-3 during their practices. This is how they teach their players about spacing and all that stuff. So there's a particular skill set or training that goes on with 3-on-3. And I've read in articles before how a lot of these European players start out in 3-on-3 games or whatever during their practices. Yep. And stuff, and that's how they learn the three-man game, because it's every time if you watch an NBA game, it's always like a three-man
game. It breaks up
side of court.
Yeah, it breaks up. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's very rare where you have four players or two players on one side of the court, unless it's like an isolation for Carmelo Anthony or something like that. But
yeah, for sure. James Harden. You know.
Yeah. But so my point is, the popularity of 3-on-3 is huge overseas. And it just goes to show that, they're half of the top players that you named in the NBA because of, not necessarily 3-on-3, but that's a lot of skills that you develop from 3-on-3 are these same skill sets that are emphasized in 3-on-3. So,
yeah.
So I think that, and this is a lot of what, our podcast is, is kind of geared towards is just trying to show you how to relate a lot of things that you can learn or a lot of skills that you develop in 3-on-3 and how you can translate that into the 5-on-5 game.
Yep. So. And I kind of want to add to what you just said, as far as like international basketball versus mm-hmm. American basketball. And the thing is, and you know, I've been hearing this a lot lately, and you know, when you hear things, you start to kind of look at it a little bit different. And the reason is like 3-on-3 is so, more prevalent. I want to say like internationally, it's because international basketball, they focus more on training and practice. American basketball, we focus on the game. Like right. it's all game. AAU basketball, like, yep. no, not to cut you off or whatever. If you go to an AAU game, and I love AAU, I love the atmosphere, I love the coaches and all the stuff. But if you go, that's fine, yeah. And I'm telling you, you're not a minority. Like, it's a lot of people. The thing about that is, and you can probably contest to this, like, okay, you go to an AAU tournament on a Saturday or whatever the case may be, 5-on-5, there's 4 players on the floor, 2 on each team that actually know what they're doing and they know how to play. And then the other guys on the team, they're just the 3 that fill the court to make it 5. Like, they don't necessarily know spacing. They don't know necessarily where to move. They don't know necessarily when to back cut, when to cut a pick, when to call for the ball, etc.
Yep.
So that's why you can kind of see like the international players now are kind of the top 5. They say the top 5 players in the NBA are international guys.
Yeah.
And that comes from, like I said, just
if you would have named them in the correct order, you would have saw that.
Yeah, no. And that's the thing. And that's part of it. And that's part of why I kind of did that on purpose, right? Because I don't want to leave my American guys out of it.
I hear you.
Because I understand, right? We're American guys, so I understand both sides of it, right? Like, I understand why kids want to rather play in the game than practice. I understand. Are they wrong? But I understand. And then on the same part of it, I understand why in Europe, why you want to practice more, right? Professionals practice more than they perform.
In anything,
professionals practice more than they perform. Even doctors call their business a practice, right? Because you're practicing to get better, right? All the time. Mm-hmm. And I feel like here we focus more on the actual game to where mm-hmm. you're not actually practicing to get better. You just want to perform.
Even when they do practice, that's a lot of scrimmaging. It's not really, you know, it's not really practice. It's not really.
You're not doing a right hand dribble for 5 minutes.
No.
Left hand dribble for 5 minutes. Like
we had to do. On a blacktop in socks,
right? With your feet burning in the summertime because you're outside. Yeah, for sure.
But what was that? Oh no. So like back to your point, you know, and you know, European players, you know, they're used to practicing. You know, they'll have 3 to 4 practices every, you know, per week, and then they'll play one game on the weekend. And in America, it's reverse, where you're playing.
You got 5 games on the weekend.
One practice that nobody shows up to during the week.
Right.
And then 5 games on the weekend on a Saturday morning between 9 a.m. and 2.
Right. And you got to play 5 games in 5 hours. And we wonder why the top 5 players in the NBA are born.
This is what I would want to know, if I could maybe, I don't know, either interview someone or just get some insight. Like in Europe, I wonder how big YouTube and, you know, highlights are. Like, you know how, because I do think that has a huge influence on these kids.
Because my kid watches nothing but YouTube. Like,
yeah, same with my
kid. The last week, he's sat down and watched like a Laker game with me and like one of the NC tournament games. Mm-hmm. But like before that, it's just like YouTube. I'm like, bro, like you need to watch the actual entire basketball game. Not only that, you need to watch the players that don't have the ball. Like you need to watch people moving without the ball to see what you need to be doing. Like that's another thing. Like this is highlight culture. I think like Austin Rivers said that like a few years ago. He was the first person that kind of like brought that up. Like this is YouTube culture. Like everybody, like all kids want to go and watch YouTube and just do what they see on YouTube. Like they like, cause YouTube isn't going to show a screen and roll, or it isn't going to show a Virgil screen. Or, and, you know, when to use it.
You get what and I'm you don't saying? Have, like, and, you know, the only YouTube, so this is, and see, this is where, I know you used to be a trainer, so, and I actually used to be a trainer for a very short period of time. If there are, like, YouTube highlights of practice, it's always, like, with a personal trainer or somebody individually practicing, and all which is great and which is needed, but, like, you never get, you know, that same, you know, how to play and interact with your teammates, because that requires practice also. You know what I'm saying? So, and a lot of times you don't get that, you know, from 5-on-5, you know, AAU specifically, you know, other than in the games where, you know, a lot of times a lot of players don't get, you know, playing time during AAU. But so, yeah, it's a interesting, you know, I do wonder, like, how popular social media is. I mean, I know it's popular, but as far as basketball culture, like,
It's definitely not as popular as in America. I think there's other countries that have like limitations on how much YouTube you can watch.
Because they're too busy practicing during the week.
Right, because they're too busy doing something constructive. Huh? Right, you're right.
But so like this was a, you know, so this was kind of a good tangent that, you know, we went on. I think that it was kind of an important discussion. So, you know, we can always circle back and talk about, you know, some more benefits, you know, in future episodes, because we are kind of winding down on time here. But I did before, you know, before we get to the last part of our podcast, I did. So this podcast is being recorded a night after what might have been the biggest, if not the biggest, nights for women's college basketball. Any thoughts on the epic matchups we witnessed last night with Iowa versus LSU and USC versus UConn, or should I say, Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese and Juju Watkins versus Paige Beckers. And special shout out to, I told you this before the game, Haley Van Lith is my girl. She played.
She got hella cooked last night.
Now she was sick, so it was, you know, she wasn't.
Oh,
you know,
she was sick. Coach, I'm sick. That's why.
Did you not hear her voice?
I didn't. I didn't. And you know what? I'm really just teasing her because but you can go back to your old basketball days. There's been one game where you just absolutely got cooked and didn't know why or what was going on.
She saw number 22 coming down the court.
So let me ask you a question. So before, and this is
I just want to talk about Haley Van Lith, only just to make the people aware that she is part of the U.S. Women's 3x3 club. Sure. So she was that's why she's my girl. Like her, Cameron Brink, and I can't remember. Cameron Brink plays for Stanford.
Yeah,
I believe. I had to go back. It was at Stanford.
Think I seen Rink. I saw Rink on the Stanford, team.
So her and Haley Van Lith were the, you know, two stars on that team. So I just want to give a shout out to 3x3 player because I'm a big fan. So, but go ahead and your question.
Oh, well, before I even get there, I want to just talk about your initial point. So yeah, that was the actual biggest. I checked the ratings. I think LSU versus Iowa got 12.3 million viewers for women's basketball. Like, that's unheard of, right? 12.3. Like, women's basketball, college basketball, this for sure has been, at least in my opinion, the most top season, like, as far as viewership goes. And these girls can ball, bro. Like, these girls can ball. Like, dude. Paige Buchers was looking like D Wade out there last night. Like,
no, Paige Buchers was the original Caitlin Clark before Caitlin Clark blew up. Like, I mean, when she came in,
like
she was
D Wade. I think she, like at the end of the game, I think she had like 11 points in a row by herself.
But Juju Watkins, man, Juju Watkins, you got to remember she's a freshman at 18 years old, and my goodness,
I had to recheck that.
So you know how we were talking about our last podcast about Caitlin Clark, you know, being offered to play in the Big Three.
Yeah.
At the end of her college career, Juju Watkins, man, I think she can. And you said that she would be, you know, Caitlin Clark would get, you know, leveled by, you know,
these
old
heads.
Juju Watkins, she's tall and she can shoot and
she's tall. She's athletic. She pulled a Euro step out last night. I was like, oh.
She's 18 years old, but anyway, I can't wait to see her college career. But
back to the big three thing. The only reason why it wouldn't work for the women to play with the men is just because obviously it's just too physical. That's it. It has nothing to do with the skills, right?
Yeah, just play a 1-2 zone. You know,
you can't play no zone in 3-on-3. You're a 3-on-3 coach. Come on, coach. You can't get a zone in 3-on-3.
I would love to see Caitlin Clark or any female, you know, well, not any female, but Caitlin Clark.
They should do the big three. They should do the W big three.
And they can barely get the men's big three.
These women are killing it.
You're right. I take that back. That actually might be more exciting because the big three can turn into kind of prison ball at times
my boy said, Kenya Martin. And then you got to think about it too, like this, like girls are already skilled and disciplined.
You're right.
Those skills and that discipline and putting in 3-on-3 basketball, that would be a machine.
I retract my laughter from your comment. That actually might work.
We probably need to call Ice Cube up and get like a meeting, a collaborative meeting.
Ice Cube will be here in Tampa.
It's June 22nd, right?
22nd. I will be there also.
We're
both commissioners of 3-on-3 leagues. You know what I'm saying? So we got
you something. Already got something in common. Reach out. Jinx. Yeah, we got it. Hey, it doesn't help. Hey, what's the worst thing that could happen? He leaves us on red.
Oh no! Yeah. I'll try to talk to him. No, for sure. He actually inspired me to start. You know, I watched a lot of his interviews and stuff like that. So, I was so excited when he said he was going to start the big three. So, you know, when I first started my league, I tried to model my league after the big three with their rules, and that's the route I was going to go until I, you know, along my journey, I fell in love with FIBA 3x3, and then I kind of changed everything. But you know, Ice Cube was the one who, you know, he inspired me to kind of put everything together, you know, so. Nice. But anyway, have you, speaking of girls, have you coached girls before?
I have not coached girls before. However, we, last year in our spring league, there was a girls team that won the championship.
Okay.
But I just know, just from watching it, you know, one of my partners is, he's the girls basketball coach at Heritage Academy, where I coach the boys. He coaches the girls, and I've been around girls basketball. Like I said, I never coached it, but I had a lot of friends that have coached it or whatever the case. And like I said, they're just more disciplined. I don't want to say they're more skilled, but the fact that they aren't as athletic as the men, they have to depend more on skill. I hope that doesn't sound bad, but they just kind of do it. Right.
Yeah, no.
Like, especially like with the young guys, like the high school kids and the junior high kids and all that. I coach, I'll call a timeout and draw up a play, and 10 seconds later they'll go out there and do exactly everything that I didn't draw on that board.
I know.
But the girls, they're gonna do it to the T. They're gonna do it to the T. So that's just that's just the experience that I have with girls basketball.
Last year was the last year I coached the team. And it was my first time ever coaching girls, and it was a girls AAU team. And special shout out to my PHS girls in Tampa, Florida. But even though it was for a very short part of the AAU season, it was probably the most fun I had coaching. And I love coaching that team. It just seemed easier to develop a relationship with the girl players. Yeah. You know? So they listen more, like you said. You know, I love the practices that we have against their, you know, they hold their own against the boys team. And so I coached the B team. There was an A team that was a little bit more advanced and older. The B team would play the A team. And it was just, you know, it was fun to see them compete and, you know, scrap with those girls. So, like, I became a huge fan of girls basketball, you know, from coaching last year. And so, like, if I were to ever coach again, you know, a 5-on-5 would probably be a girls high school team. That's something or even, you know, middle school. We need more female players in 3-on-3 live. So far we've had a handful.
Hoops, too.
at Score Hoops. I've even made a video of the girls of 3-on-3 Live with the few that we did have. So, but yeah, we need more so I can make more highlight videos to, you know, to contribute to the highlight culture that we just talked about.
It is what it is, right? You got to, you know, this is our audience, so we got to meet them where they are.
Yep. Good point. Sure. So, all right, as you wrap up, any personal news going on with you? Anything that you want to share with any?
Nothing personal. I just work hard. I'm just trying to get this, you know, this next league going.
You want to explain that wretched t-shirt you have on, maybe?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. That's Atlanta Braves World Champ 2021. You know, I won't go too far into it because you already know what that is. We lost today, but hey, it's baseball. We got like
We won. So yeah, actually, you know what? I know this is a 3-on-3 basketball podcast, but the significance of three, we might as well just bring this up. You know, Bryce Harper, number 30.
He hit three home runs.
Yep.
We won. You got it. That's fine. Because my Braves, we won three games this season.
My boy, Joel Embiid came back tonight.
I love Embiid, man. Yeah, I love Embiid. Joel Embiid is Shaq with handles and a jump shot.
Really quick. Your three players against my three players. 3-on-3.
Embiid. I got Embiid.
Well, how did you get the first pick? You can't pick through three. You gotta.
I'm number one, man.
Who's the first pick? Who you got?
I got Embiid. I got Joel, man.
All right. So I gotta neutralize that. I'll get Durant.
Okay. I'm gonna trick you and go with Kyrie Irving.
So you think too much. I just get Curry.
That's not a think. Oh well, there you go. You got Curry. Damn. There you go. I didn't even think about Curry. Oh man, I gotta go with LeBron James as the third one. Then don't I?
Oh, he's so old. But I must take.
He's my age.
Huh?
He's my age.
You know what, man?
But I'm sitting up. I'm sitting in my room, and he.
I got Durant. Look, give me Joker, man. Now.
That's a good game right there. We need to ask the audience. Whose team would win in 3-on-3? Coach J's team.
That's not a bad idea. And we'll get all four people to vote. And then see what.
Hey, we'll get four. When I get my 3-1, we stick in the threes. When I get 3-1, we go. Right. Fans or audience, that's the poll question of the day, so to speak. Or you can just leave it in the comments.
Where are we going to put this poll at?
In the comments. Just answer in the comments. You guys can answer in the comments. Whose team would win? Coach J's team of Joel Embiid, Kyrie Irving, and the NBA scoring leader of all time, LeBron James.
Oldest person in the league. Yeah.
That's fine. He's still doing his thing. Versus Coach Kev's. Man. I don't even know who's on his team anymore.
You need a sub for LeBron.
We got Joker. Yeah, we got Kevin Durant, and he got Steph Curry.
Yeah.
So there you go.
We already got the team chemistry right there.
Ain't no team chemistry. Kevin Durant and Steph Curry got animosity towards each other.
Nah.
I'd pick
Draymond. All right, Coach. Let's end this with what I like to end this with, and that's Coach J's quote of the week.
Give a quote this time, Coach. Not a whole sentence.
Let's not explain it. Let's just give a quote.
I used this before already one time earlier, but I'm going to say it again because it's a good quote, and everybody that's watching remember.
You cannot repeat the quote.
Okay. What's the quote? Tell me what the quote is.
No, you can't repeat the same quote you said in podcast one. Is that what you were going to do?
No, absolutely not. I'm more creative than that.
I said this before. We only had one podcast, Coach.
That's what I'm trying to tell you now. So I couldn't use the same thing I used from the last podcast. But what I was, I used this earlier in this show.
This is supposed to be a 10-second segment.
Now I've got the quote. Professionals practice more than they perform.
Professionals practice. All right, we're going to work on that. It was episode 2, and so we're going to end it right there. Thanks, Coach, for hanging out with me, and we'll see y'all next time.
Peace.
Peace.